Blog Talk Radio.
This is Entertainment Life on the Sasha Marina Show, a show about the entertainment and music industry, where you get to hear from the top and up-and-coming stars, from amateurs to professionals. They're all just working hard for success. This show is to give those the opportunity to speak about their talents and what they're doing to succeed in their dreams. And now, here's your host, Sasha Marina.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Very special guest today. He goes by the name of Yves Boll. That is the German pronunciation. I will ask him just in case I was incorrect. But he is a world-known filmmaker, director, and producer, mostly action films. His latest film is called Rampage 2, which he himself has directed and produced, and it's going to be available on DVD in the States in August. So without further ado, I'm going to have him on the line because he's calling all the way from Germany. So, hello, you. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, I'm good. We have 9 p.m. in Germany, so it's all good. Still, the sun is still out here.
Congratulations on your World Cup.
Yeah, it was a very good final game, I have to say. Like, the Argentinians were also very good, and it was a real thriller.
It was very stressful as a fan. I mean, the whole game until overtime. So it was very stressful game.
It was crazy. But today the German players actually came into Germany and they had like I think 800,000 people in Berlin saying hello to them. They drove through the inner city and to the Brandenburg gate. And it was completely crazy. So I'm not in Berlin. I'm by Frankfurt. So I'm happy that I was not in that traffic jam. But it was a big deal here. And because Germany was the last two world championships in the semifinal and played good soccer but always lost. So and I think now it was time.
That's quite beautiful. 800,000 people. Going out to welcome you back to your country. That's beautiful. That's very nice.
Yeah, okay. It was crazy.
So let's talk about you, Mr. Yu. You have this, I just mentioned you have a new film coming out, Rampage 2, Capital Punishment. And in this film, you directed and produced. Tell us a little bit about this particular film and what sets it apart, what makes it different from your last, to the first part of Rampage.
Yeah, so the first one I was four and a half years ago. It was basically a movie I felt that is a movie I would want to see, and it was basically a bank robbery covered up as a rampage. So a very cynical movie, very hard, with Brendan Fletcher in the lead part, and I actually got very good reviews for it, and people loved it, and so I felt now 4 or 5 years later. Okay, what would happen with the guy? Because the bad guy got away with whatever he did in the first part. And I felt, okay, this time I will make him basically, I explained what he did. He was in hiding. Nobody ever catched him. And now he goes out and kidnaps a whole TV station to blackmail them to air a live interview with him. And then he flips basically completely out, and it's about NSA, Guantanamo Bay, Afghanistan, Iraq, everything what goes wrong in in the world. And he gets away again in killing a lot of people.
So obviously, like you mentioned before, there is some sort of cynical comedy behind the story, because you just mentioned one of like the top like secret agencies of the world, you know, whether it be our country. It brings the world together in some way, politically. And there's this guy out there just doing whatever it is that he wants. You know, that's definitely, there's some comedy into that. And is this like just the sort of subject that you like to portray on film, or is this something that's just fun for you and just make a witty story out of it for people's enjoyment?
Yeah, I'm personally also kind of a cynical black humor guy, and for me the thing was that the message is basically if you're ruthless enough, you get away with murder basically, and you, mm-hmm. you get away with whatever you do, and it's kind of a reflection of what's going on in society. So that thing, take the money and run, I think got bigger and bigger into our normal behavior. You know, I mean, I work in the film industry. I know what that means. If people mm-hmm. don't pay their bills, if people don't pay, for example, as an example, we sell our movies around the world, and you can say 30% of the buyers don't pay you. They buy the movie, they do 20% down payment, then you ship mm-hmm. the master tape, and then they don't pay you the other 80%. And that kind of behavior is crazy and damaging for all of us. And that my movie before was Assault on Wall Street with Dominic Purcell and John Hurt and Eric Roberts and others. And that was a movie about the bailout, the financial crisis, and that the banksters, how we would say it, got away with it. You know, like, I mean, mm-hmm. they had maybe a little dent in their bonus payments, but 6 million Americans lost their houses during that crisis, and they maybe didn't recover. You know, and that is the thing. What I think it's important to, as a filmmaker, for me, is important to tackle or to show some like actual problems that happen right now, and make something, an angry statement about it. I mean, there is so much. Like the Hollywood comic book movies out, and I did a fair share of video game-based movies, but I think from time to time it is very important to make also a statement and to have kind of an eye-opener to present to people where they think, by the way, this was the feedback I got from various journalists so far, they said, that guy is a ruthless murderer, but in a way what he says is right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that was the feedback what I was hoping for, to be honest, that it's always interesting to have a bad guy, but he is fascinating. You know, like Hannibal Lecter or whatever, we loved to watch what this guy was doing. And I think that is, in a way, Bill Williamson in Rampage is a guy like this, where he is, Brendan Fletcher is actually a very sympathetic person, and so it's like kind of fascinating to watch him.
Yeah, you know, now that you say Hannibal Lecter, I'm actually catching up on the series, okay? And so far I love it. I was actually recommended to begin watching the series Hannibal, and it's totally lovely. So,
yeah, I like it also because Mads Mikkelsen is one of the best actors, I think, existing. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. Anything I see, whether it be foreign, whether it be productions here from America, I think that he is awesome. So
Yeah. You're
right about that. You do have some other films, though, besides Rampage that are currently in production. One that you are directing called, The Name of the King 3, which is that being released or has it already been released this year?
Yeah. I think it's running right now on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was out or is out with 20th Century Fox on DVD, and it will be also on Netflix soon. Also with Dominic Purcell. I really like that actor. He's really good. And that was the third part of the first one. It was the biggest movie I ever did with Jason Statham, was in the mm-hmm. Name of the King 1, with Ray Liotta and Ron Perlman and tons of famous actors. And then we have part two was with Dolph Lundgren, and part three now is with Dominic Purcell. And, yeah, this is out right now.
And how, you know, you've worked with various, you know, big actors. How is it working with someone like Jason Statham? Because he is always on the big screen. I don't know if this guy ever takes a rest, but he is like in every hit movie that's out there, whether it be foreign or, you know, how is it working with him? Yeah.
That was very good. He is a real team player, and he didn't have any like that kind of star requests. You know, like
diva. He wasn't a diva.
Exactly. So my trailer has to be this size or whatever, zero. And he got super good along with Ron Perlman as his buddy in the movie, basically. And I mean, that was for me a dream. I actually learned over the time that a lot of actors they're getting a little crazy if they're getting, like, let's say you have a famous guy who gets a little down the drain, and now you hire him, and then he gets complicated because he feels like he's bigger as he is at that moment because he had a bigger name before, and that are the divas. That are the problematic people. They are not team players anymore, and they make it complicated for the other actors. And I had a few of them on my sets also. But actually, the bigger names, like Ben Kingsley, I worked with, no problem at all, super professional. Christian Slater, very professional. So with these guys, I didn't have any problems.
Definitely. And not only are you a director, but you're also a producer. You have to worry about that. Like you're saying that you lose money sometimes with the people that actually buy your films that put a certain down payment and then don't even pay you in full once they receive your. So you have other things to worry about than divas and diva actors.
And the good thing was also, it is actually not so bad to be producer-director because, you control yourself as a director, that you don't flip out as a director because you're also your own producer. and on the other hand, the actors I see also are they respect you more. They think, okay, that guy is also responsible for the money, so he has to be kind of intelligent or whatever, and you get a little more respect from the actors, basically.
Definitely. You're also executive producer of a film that's currently in production called Luna Project. Would you like to speak about that?
Yeah, this is. I don't think it's done right now. So it's okay. For me to have to say something about it. I have some other projects in development, like a Viking movie. Because you talked about Mads Mikkelsen, he did that movie Valhalla Rising, what I really liked, and so I'm planning to do a Viking movie in kind of that spirit, very rough, hard, and naturalistic, and another movie 12 Hours. Is basically a movie what plays in one night where a profi killer basically, or you think he is a professional killer and he has to kill 7 people in one night, but then after his second murder, it turns out he gets blackmailed to do all this. And so it's kind of a Usual Suspects, Memento, like a very interesting movie because you really have to pay attention to get what's going on, and that is a very good script I got, and I want to do that movie too.
You're known for many things, not only as a director, worldwide and a producer, but also for the first filmmaker to try to adapt a video game into a big screen. It started with Far Cry. How did this process begin for you? What made you want to really take a video game and adapt it into Hollywood cinema?
Yeah, it was Sega's House of the Dead, that arcade game where you basically shoot zombies, what was my entry ticket into this. And they first asked me to do that movie, and Lionsgate released it, and it made good box office, I think worldwide around $35-40 million, and it was $7 million production budget. So this was a success because on DVD it made another $30-40 million. So that came, and then a lot of people approached me and said, "Oh, you're that video game guy. You're the guy who makes video games into movies." And at this time, early in like 12 years ago, there was not that invasion what you have now with Prince of Persia and Underworld and Resident Evil. It was before that. And so I did Alone in the Dark based on the Atari video game. So I made a lot of movies based on video games because the financing was easier to get together. And a lot of buyers worldwide, they know the game, so they bought the movie too. Mm-hmm. So you have basically similar to the comic books, a built-in audience, and the movie buyers, they are very attracted by it. They like it. Yeah.
Definitely. And it's something that is even, it attracts more audience because there's so much like video game experts and players that I think that more people play video games nowadays than reading books. So, for instance, a lot of movies that are adapted from a novel or something like that, you know, an actual video game movie might attract even a bigger audience. And all sorts of people. So definitely as a filmmaker, I see where that would be inconvenience for you.
Totally.
You know, you've been doing this for quite a while, you know, many years, very experienced. What do you remember the first production that, as a director, that you first did?
Yeah, I the first American movie I did was Sanctimony. Uh-huh. With Caspar Van Dien and Catherine Oxenberg, Jennifer Rubin, Michael Paré, Eric Roberts, 1999. And it was, the thing what I don't forget is I came to my first read-through in America, and they talked so quick, and I was a long time. I was not so long in America before, so I could almost, I was not understanding what they were talking about. And I was sitting there like, thinking to myself, like, how can I shoot that movie? I have no clue what they're talking about. So it was really, like, kind of overwhelming. So I spoke English, I can read English, but it was for me like that kind of everybody talks at the same time so quick. But it worked out. In the end, we did it, and then the English got better movie by movie. But that was kind of crazy. And I did four movies before that in Germany. And, mm-hmm. Of course, the first one, a German fright movie, was a comedy, and it was the hardest to do because I had the least amount of money. And I think this is the reason I always admire or always push people like film students and people that make their first movies. I want to give them courage and say, look, just go for it, just do it. And later in life, you don't have that energy anymore. You know, like you don't have the energy like whatever, bring catering from, make the sandwiches at 4 o'clock in the morning because you have no catering, as an example. And as a director, producer, writer, and everything, you have to do everything on your own. And it was crazy. It was like, it took me 7 months to shoot that movie, and all of the energy, all of the money went down the drain, and that was the hardest, basically. You know, like the first one was, in retrospective, you think like, oh my God, how I finished that? It was unbelievable. So, yeah.
And for instance, back then, the reason why I ask you, you know, I want you to elaborate on how then that first movie, all that money that had to come out of your own pocket, and all that hard work just for one person. Now you have people that will back you up. You know, you have a steady production team, for instance.
Yeah.
You have people that want to work with you, but you still are going through different hardships. You know, what are your hardships now as a big Hollywood director? You know, before you were independent, but now even if you have the studio backing you up, what are the hardships that you had to go through?
Yeah, now it's hard to get all the elements together, like the cast, the good project, and the financing to get everything in place. And what actually happened in the last few years in the film market, what is actually not so good, is that the independent, like the $5 million movie, the $10 million movie, is hard to finance and hard to sell because everybody wants a $200 million movie. And I'm not Michael Bay, right? So I'm not getting $200 million to make a movie and to get a movie together. So it is important to get all the elements like attractive for the buyers worldwide that they think, okay, I want that product. And mm-hmm. Now you have to basically look like, for example, UK, Germany, Benelux, and US, they want action, and you can sell action. And it makes sense to do an action movie. But you have other countries like Spain, Italy, France. They actually like more like drama and stuff like this. And because the big market there is TV, and they are not really interested in violence, for example. So they don't want violent movies because they want to show that in TV 24/7. And so basically you cannot make it every country the perfect fit, basically. You know, so that is the thing. This is the reason that I'm more focused on North America, Germany, UK, Australia, like this kind of countries, because I do more violent movies. I do more action movies and a lot of shooting and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny that you just mentioned Spain, Italy, and France, that they want more of the dramatic role, something more subtle. You know, these are the romance countries. These are the romantic countries.
Yeah.
They're not into all that violence. So that, you know, and it's very interesting. It's nice speaking to someone of your caliber because you get the insight of the other side. You know, I have interviewed many people that are into the independent cinema, here in the States, but they don't know all those steps yet. Everybody is still learning, and obviously you've already gone through all of that, and you've already managed, like, I could sell to these countries, and, you know, this is what works best for me. So
yeah.
I know it's probably been a long learning road for you.
Yeah, it is a long time. This is also the reason, like, 9 years ago, we opened up Event Film. This is my company in Vancouver. And so we are open for other producers to submit ideas. And we co-finance movies. We go with sales guarantees into movies. And we help selling movies worldwide. And a lot of times, I think when I get a movie what is already shot, I feel like, oh, if these guys would ask me before they made the movie, like a few questions, they would maybe didn't make all that mistakes and would get more revenues. And it's like, I mean, I understand everybody wants to make the movie they dream about or what they wrote, but a lot of times, I mean, movies is an expensive hobby, basically, you know, and an expensive business. And I always say, when people ask me, is movie making art? And I always say, yeah, that it can be art. There are grandiose movies. They are like masterpieces. But movies is not painting or writing books. It costs a lot of money. And you have a lot of responsibility, so you have to see movie making is first a business. And if it turns into some super good masterpiece, perfect. But first of all, you move a lot of money to make it happen, and you should protect that money. That is, I think, the most important thing what people must learn.
You know, it's great that you say that it is a business. At the end of the day, like, for instance, for me as an actress, it would be, you know, it is about the art. It's about wanting to be, you know, an actress and playing the part. But the businessman is you, the producer, and even the director, you do have to look at it as a business.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I understand as an actor is a little different because normally you don't pay for the movie, and then you can negotiate, like, if you really want to do the movie, you do the part cheap, you know, or you defer your fees or whatever. So but this is different as somebody puts $1 million up or two or three or five and you tank his money. That is the thing. What I don't want to be in that situation. And not all of my movies made profit, so I had that situation where people got really upset, you know, and they're like, why you casted this guy? As an example, in Far Cry, I had Til Schweiger, who was in Inglourious Basterds and tons of other movies, but he is more, in Germany he is a superstar, but he's not a star anywhere else, he's only a known actor. And when the movie didn't turn out to be in the theaters a big success, I got grilled by the investors, and they said, you should never use Til Schweiger. You know,
mm-hmm.
And before that they were all excited that I had Til Schweiger, but that is the thing where... I mean, not every decision I made was right, but this is normal. But I think important is to have that responsibility and accountability that the people know that you will fight for their money if they give you money to do something. That the money comes first, then comes the art.
Do you have the production company that you have in Vancouver? Is there a website or anything that people can go and check you guys out?
Yeah, it's like Event Film. .us
Okay.
We tried to get .com, but there was already a .com event film. So we have eventfilm.us, and then all the movies and contact, everything pops up.
Okay, perfect. And you spoke about certain productions that you're working on right now. Let's go back to Rampage Capital Punishment. It is going to be available in DVD and VOD in the States, August 19th, and October 21st in Canada, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy why Canada comes so late, but it is what it is. I have to live with it.
You do have to live with it. You know, I don't know why. It's not the first. I see that constantly with DVD releases. For some reason, it has to come out months later in Canada.
Yeah. But I don't know why, to be honest. I have no explanation for it.
If you don't know, imagine us. I mean, you're the filmmaker here. I don't know who would know.
Yeah. No, because I can't imagine that the Canada loses business, you know, like people just order. I order all the time on Amazon US and ship it to Vancouver. It costs nothing. You know, it's not like you pay a tax or something if you just buy the movie in U.S. And tons of my everybody almost I know has Netflix U.S. In Canada. So then it will be also maybe always on Netflix already when the DVD in Canada comes out. What is also like so for the Canadian business, I think it's not clever to go so late with the DVD.
Yeah, for instance, we've actually stopped using, you know, you go to the movies if you want to see the movie right away, you go to the theaters, or if not, you just wait till it's on Netflix. And Netflix has really, I don't know about you as a filmmaker, if it's made it better on you, but Netflix is something that's, I mean, universal, and it's even opened my eyes to a lot of films that I thought that weren't even, you know, that I didn't even know existed. A lot of foreign films that I've gotten a chance to see on Netflix that I wouldn't have been able to see in the theaters here in the States.
Yeah.
So for you as a filmmaker, do you think that that's impacted your work? Has it made it better? Has it made it worse? What is your take on something like that, like Netflix and Hulu?
I mean, the theatrical market costs so much money to release a movie, costs so much money in advertising that Netflix and all that stuff, iTunes, On Demand, that Comcast, all that helps filmmakers now to get the movie shown and that people watch the movie. And even if they, like Hulu and everybody, but even if they don't pay a lot of money, it adds up if you have like 5, 6, 7, 8 of that deals going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Netflix is very, very important for independent filmmakers, you know.
Definitely.
So it's kind of a hope. I mean, the hope is, of course, that they pay more in the future, but but right now, they at least there, and I'm very happy that they exist. And I mean, the networks will not buy my movie, right? So I mean, I'm really always in cable and video on demand, basically.
Yes, definitely. So is there anything else you'd like to mention? We mentioned that you have some projects coming up that you're producing. Is there anything else? Will you be in the States soon, working in the States, or are you in Germany for now?
No, for now, till September, I will be here in Germany, and I was the whole time now 10 months in Vancouver, and I have family here and everything I have to visit. My parents are over 80 now, so I have to spend the summer here, and I will be in November in Los Angeles at the American Film Market, and then we go from there, you know. So the plan is to shoot the beginning of next year the next movie. This year in January, I shot the Rampage Capital Punishment, and then January, February is always a nice month for me to shoot movies because I don't like, my movies are a little more gritty, so I like it if the weather is not too good, and in that month, you also don't want to hang out at the beach or something. I mean, in January, February is perfect to shoot a movie, in a way.
It is perfect. So thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. I feel so honored. I wish you continue, success with your film.
Thank you very much. Okay, bye.
Take care. Congratulations. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So that was Yuv Bol, ladies and gentlemen, a filmmaker, director, producer from Germany, you know, and also extended into to Canada, like you mentioned. So any filmmakers and producers out there that listened to this interview and actually got heard what he had to say about independent filmmakers that are probably interested in contacting his production company. They do help out independent filmmakers with production, with distribution, marketing, and all that good stuff. He did mention a great tip that he wishes that more filmmakers would reach him before they actually begin production. You know, let him look over your script or talk to him about your ideas, because he could really help you out in the do's and don'ts. You know, of the industry. And like he mentioned, filmmaking at the end of the day is a business. You do want to make money off your movies, and which is a plus for everybody in the production. So make sure you check out his website. He said it was eventsfilms.us, and reach him through there. If not, you can check out our blog from the SashaMarinShow.com. There's more info on how to reach him there, you know, his website, his Twitter, and so forth. So thank you so much for tuning into this interview. It was great talking to him. So take care. Bye. Make sure to keep up with us through the SashaMarinaShow.com, download our app on the Google Play Market and BlackBerry World, the Sasha Marina Show. Keep up with our interviews and so forth on Twitter, Instagram, at Sasha Marina, or Facebook, the Sasha Marina Show page. And once again, thank you. That single that you guys heard there, by the way, is Ballad, Day to You. It's his latest single from his EP. Make sure to check him out, Ballad, B-A-L-L-A-D. Bye-bye.